This morning I want to talk about test. I was just talking to some of the kids back here that are in school at Deschler, 7th and 9th graders. And I was talking about I did my student teaching at Deschler. You remember that. And, you know, I taught school for 7 years. Dwayne will tell you I'm a proud retired teacher now. Retired early, but I am a retired teacher. I've got a new line of work that I'm into. But regardless, while I was teaching, one of the things that you do, as all of us went to school, Ms. McConnell, you still teach, correct? So we understand the idea of test, right? You like tests, don't you? Okay, some people enjoy the test, some people don't. Ethan, you like tests? No tests. Okay. Well, when it comes to tests, from a school side of things, it's such a thing we can relate to and make application to in our lives because we've all taken tests. Even where you work at, sometimes to get a certain job or a certain degree in that job, you've got to take tests and pass a level D test or to pass a certain test to get a pay raise or to hold a different position at your place of employment. Well, spiritually speaking, I think there's a lot of application here, and that's what we're going to talk about during the Bible class hour, our test. Who was the father of the faithful? Abraham. Abraham. He's going to be our key example on passing some of these tests. We could use a lot of biblical characters this morning, but we're going to use Abraham this morning for our test. So, I want to ask this to start with. Why do you think we take tests? What are tests for in school or workplace? What are tests for? To see what you know. Based on what? What you've been taught. All right? So, I go to school this week. I have Ethan in class. All right? I taught history. So I'm teaching geography. 7th grade, we had geography and some history, depending on what school you're at. I'm going to teach that geography class. The end of a week or week and a half, 2 weeks, we're going to have an assessment or a test. And what we're going to do is find out what Ethan's learned in my geography class for that week or 2 weeks. We're going to assess his knowledge based on that week or 2 weeks. Now, if he passes the test, what does that show, generally speaking? All right, if he makes an A, he's probably mastered it. If he makes a B or a C, he's learned the most part. If he makes a low F, either I didn't do a good job or he didn't do a good job. Maybe both of us didn't do a good job. Regardless, tying this to spiritual things now. We come to church. How often do we meet here at Tri-Cities? All right, 4 hours a week, 3 times a week. Okay, on a general basis. This week we're going to meet a little extra. But 52 weeks a year, 168 hours a week, we're going to meet 4 hours a week, generally speaking. If we're not forsaking the assembly, which is good. We want to be here every time the doors are open. Well, during the Bible class hours on Sunday morning and Wednesday, we have Bible class, I assume, same here. And during the worship service, you'll have a lesson, you'll sing, and as we sing, we're teaching, admonishing, and hymns and songs. Well, we're trying to make application on all this stuff. So maybe last week the theme was 2 Peter chapter 1, we're adding to our faith virtue and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. So at the end of the week, it's all right. We've been studying this for 2 weeks at Tri-Cities. We've been working on this in Bible class. How have I done at work? How have I done at school? How am I doing in the home as a father, as a mother? How am I doing as a child to my parents? And we start evaluating ourselves to see if we're passing the test. To see if we're passing the tests that are happening. All right. God has motives for testing us, not trying us or tempting us, because God doesn't tempt us. He's not the one who tempts us or persecutes us. But we are tried. He allows us to be tested. And there's 4 reasons we're going to look at. And what I'm going to ask you to do is, I've got 4 passages here. I'm going to ask Bob to take this first one in Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you'll look up verses 2 and verse 16. All right? And then on the second one here, I'm going to ask Meredith if she'll look up 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 17. You'll take that one. All right? On the third one here, Jeremiah 17:10, Mr. Spiegel, will you take that one for us? All right? And then the last one here, let's see. Chad, you want to take that last one? All right, so we've got 4 things up here on the screen we're going to look at. So although we've got people turning and looking these verses up, let's look at them together. So why would God allow us to be tested this week, in our homes, at school? Why would he allow it? Well, look at these reasons. To know whether or not we're going to obey. To know whether or not we're going to obey. Mr. Malone comes in, Tim Malone comes in, he tells me, he said, I was the best baseball player there ever was. He didn't say this, it's hypothetical. I said, well, what was your batting average when you played for the Atlanta Braves? He says, well, I never struck out. I never grounded out. I never popped out. They never got me out one time. That's a pretty good record. Chipper Jones can't even say that. He said, but I never had one at bat. He never got a hit, Bob. He never proved himself. So he was never tested. Who knows if he might not have been the next Babe Ruth or the next Tim Malone, right, that nobody ever heard of because he wasn't any good. I don't know. He has never proved himself. Well, it's the same with us. When Dwayne goes to work tomorrow, maybe there's a coworker that's unruly or upset about some ball game that happens today in football, and he's using filthy language. We've got two young kids that go to Dassler, Muscle Shoals, right? Muscle Shoals. Okay, my kids go to New Bethel. There's kids that talk ugly at any of these schools, right? Colbert Heights, they talk ugly up there? No, not at Colbert Heights. Does anybody work with people that use filthy language? You don't have to raise your hand and tell me. I know.
Time's passing.
Now, you think about all these things, okay? There's so much sin in the world. There's so much going on. We've got to be tested. We're going to be tested. Are we conforming to the world? Are we standing up for what's right? When you go home and you turn on that television, you may be tested. When you pick up your cell phone, you might make a decision that's going to test you. Do I do what's right that I've been taught, that I've studied, that I know I should do, or do I not? All right, let's read a few of these passages. He's going to read the first one for us, Bob is. Notice how he emphasized the word test. We're going to be tested. Okay? What's going to happen at school tomorrow? Am I going to say or do what's right? At work, in my home, when we're making a decision on what I'm going to wear, who I'm going to spend my time with, because we know in 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil companionships corrupt good morals. We know that I'm either trying to impress somebody else or I'm trying to impress the Lord. I'm trying to do what's right or I'm trying to go with the crowd. We've got to pass these tests. All right, who's reading 1 Chronicles there for us? Okay. He's pleased with uprightness. Wouldn't it be nice? How many grandchildren do you have, Wanda? 10 grandchildren. Wouldn't it be nice if you're sitting there one day and you're watching your grandchildren, they don't have a clue you're watching. And here they are, and they've got a choice to do right or wrong. Whatever scenario it is, they can do right or wrong. And they don't have you there to tell them, hey, this is what you need to do. This is the answer you need to make. This is what you should wear. This is what you should say. This is just them and somebody. And you watch and you see your granddaughter stand up for herself with some young man. Or your grandson stand up for herself with a group of boys that are trying to even do something he should. And you say, I'm proud. They did the right. Just imagine God looking down on us. And we're in that scenario. We could do something. We could say something. We could let our temper flood us and say something we'll regret forever. We could storm out and do something we shouldn't. But instead, we do the right thing and it pleases someone else. Right? It pleases the Lord. He's pleased with uprightness. What about His justice and judgment? Mr. Spiegel, you got that passage right? Jeremiah 17:10. All right. Searches the heart. God has motives for allowing us to be tested, to prove ourselves either worthy or unworthy of His justice and judgment. And then finally, to make us better. Right? If I want to be a better golfer, I go out to the driving range, I hit about 200 golf balls. If I want to be a better baseball player, I go to the batting cage and I hit for days and weeks and years. And even though I may not ever be the best hitter, I'm going to be better. You know, I work on an assembly line, and all I do all day is tie these little screws on something. They pass me another day, and I do it. Well, when I first started, it may take me 10 seconds. By the time I've worked there 5 years, I ain't even looking. It's just, you know what I'm doing. You do something for years, whether you like it or not, you get good at it, usually. Well, spiritually speaking, it's the same way. The more we stand up for what's right, the more we do what's right, the better we're going to be at it. You care to read, who today? Chad. Proverbs 17:3. The wise man here, Solomon. All right. How do you know if you've got pure gold? What do? They burn out the impurities. So if somebody brings you something that looks gold, and you burn it, and you find out there's not a lick of gold in this, how valuable is it?
Worthless.
It's worthless. So if I say, all right, class, We've been studying the fruits of the Spirit. Today we're going to have a test on them and how you've done this week applying the fruits of the Spirit. Raise your hand if you're ready. You know what my class used to do when I'd ask they're ready for the test? Everybody, I studied Mr. Dowrum. I studied Coach Dowrum. Every one of them got their hands up, right? I pass out the test. I get the test back. Do you think it showed that they all studied? No. All of a sudden, it's like, did you study? No, I forgot. I didn't have time. All of a sudden, it's like, whoa, you said one thing and did another. And that's exactly the part with the goal, to make us better. We can say we're faithful Christians all day long. You know, I know that those that are here this morning are faithful here at Tri-Cities, or you wouldn't be here this morning. But there's so many people that go to churches of any faith and denomination and worship all across the world today that claim to be Christians. They claim to have faith, just like I may claim this necklace is gold or silver or whatever. But when they're tried, when they're tempted, when they're in those battles of life, they're not standing up for what's right. They're not proving any. They're not passing any test. What did Jesus say in John 14:15? If you love me,
keep my commandments.
What did he say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? We can't say, I'm ready for this test. I'm ready to pass the test. I didn't study for that. And then fail the thing every time. That's not going to work. We can't keep saying, well, we're faithful Christians. We go to church all the time. We're making application. We're growing. And this week, we've got a chance to really grow. And then all of a sudden at work tomorrow, at school tomorrow, when we go home this afternoon, we're failing all these tests. We've got to back up what we're saying. We've got to stand for it. And to finish out our class this morning, we're going to look at five ways that Abraham did that. Five ways that Abraham was tested by God, and four ways that Abraham was tested by God, and the ways that he passed these tests. The first one, and I want you to think about yourself with each of these 4 points, as if you are present-day Abraham, not that we are Abraham by any means, but if you were tested in the same way, could you, would you, or have you passed these tests? Now, within the time that we're allotted, obviously we could have more than 4 points, okay? But this is the 4 we're going to look at. So think about these 4, but if you can think of others that are more active in your life that you can make more application, do that. Think about however you can make application of this idea of passing the test in my life when I'm tested, proving to God that I'm faithful, that I'm growing, that I'm developing as a Christian. All right, our first one. Do I trust God with my future life on earth? All right, so pre-test here. First day of class. You know, you ask the kids something. By the end of the week, we're going to see how much they've learned on it, but let's see what they know to start with. Do you feel like you right now, 15, 16, 17, 18. Wow. I was close. If I'd have got that close to your dad, I would have gotten credit. For you, it don't work. All right. Do I trust God with my future life on earth? 18 years old. Stacy don't hear it, but soon to be searching for a husband. Dwayne really hates when I bring that up at Piney Grove about him too. All right. It's coming. I don't know when, but it'll happen eventually, right? Fixing to choose a career path. Now, she may change her mind a few times, but she's in that stage where she'll be choosing a career path, where she's going to live, right? Who she's going to be. That's such an age. You all remember that have been to that age and have passed that age. That's a huge age in life, okay? A lot of major decisions. All right, now you take someone with children her age, her mom and dad. What about their 5 children, right? 5 children. What about their grandchildren to come years later? Where they're going to be working at to spread the gospel at the time. Do I trust God with my future life on earth? It's easy to say, you know, these multiple choice tests, the kids love them because they've got a 25% chance of getting it right, Bob. 25%? It don't matter if they say or not, they got a 25% chance. It's easy to fill in A, B, C, or D. It's easy. And to know, spiritually speaking, the right answer. If a person approaches you and blows you out, how should you respond? A, treat them like you would want to be treated. B, yell at them and hit them. C, take a gun and shoot them in the leg. D, take a baseball. I mean, we know the right answer is treat them like you'd want to be treated. Pretend they're having a bad day, and it could be you one day. Let them reap coals of fire on their head. All right? So on the paper test, we all know the answer is A. But now it's the real test. It really happens to you. Well, you knew on paper to choose A. Treat them. But in real life, when it happened, you chose D. You grab something up and you start hitting them with it and you cuss them back and you did. You see what I'm saying? It's one thing to know the right answer. We've studied, we've gained the knowledge. But it's another thing to pass these tests when they happen, to make application. How many people sit in front of the TV? Don't tell me if he does this, right? Chad, don't do this. Said, throw the pass, throw it. He was wide open. Right? Right? What do they say yesterday in the game? People are like, just run the ball. Quit throw, just run. I one time Nick Saban literally said, run the ball, right? Y'all all saw that part. Just run the ball. And we're our own coaches of these professional teams, these major college teams, and we know the right thing to do every time. Well, they should have subbed him for him. They should. How many times do we see that, and it just makes so much sense, but then when it happens to us in life, Meredith should not, you should have just left him alone. You should have just, shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have went there. I told you to. But then when it's me, the shoe's on the other foot, I just can't see it. I'm blind to it. We're blind to it. We've got to make sure we're trusting God with our future life on earth. So think about that, and think about your future life, education, jobs, relationships, all these things. If I do it God's way, I've got to trust Him. It may not be easy. I may have family ridicule. I may have less money. I may have problems, but I'll be spiritually in a good condition. I'll be in a safe condition. I'll be serving the Lord with all I got. I'm going to give up some things, but I'll have hope of eternal life. Is it worth it? Let's read about this here. Stacy, if you'll take Genesis 12, the first seven verses. Genesis 12, the first seven verses. And then I'll ask, do you care to take Hebrews 11, 8? Go ahead, Stacy. All right. Just take up what you've got. Take your family and just move. Just go. Now, did Abraham know where he was going? Did he know where he was going? Let's go ahead and read Hebrews 11, 8, and we'll find out. He obeyed, and he went out, not knowing where he's going. Huh? Just go. Well, where am I? How many of us have been, well, where am I going? Where do you want me to go? You know, to make application here, God's not asking us to just necessarily pick up and leave. Maybe in life you'll have situations like that. But He is asking us to trust and obey. Trust and obey. And if we trust and obey God, we're saying, all right, I'm giving up certain things on this earth with hope of eternal life. Do you think that's worth it? Yeah, I mean, on paper, it's definitely worth it. Do you think it's easy? I mean, it sounds easy, but it's not. It's not easy because all of a sudden it's like, well, this could affect my relationship with some of my children. Oh, that sounded real easy until you bring my children into it. This could affect my relationship with my parents, to some of my close friends from high school or at my work. This could affect my income or the career I've worked so hard to obtain. Abraham never doubted or second-guessed him because he had full trust and faith. The father of the faithful had full confidence and faith in God. What about you? There's going to be times in our life where we're going to be tested like that. It may not be today or tomorrow. It may have already happened. It may happen next year. But we're going to be tested. We've got to make sure that we have full trust in God like Abraham did. And we're going to see that extended in some of these other examples. All right. Any comments on that? If you got anything on the side, just speak up and say it. Be glad to take anything. All right. Secondly, do I honor God with my possessions no matter the cost? Do I honor God with my possessions no matter the cost? All right. Let's see. Mr. Michael, is that right? You care to take this passage here from Genesis 14, verses 17 through 24? All right. Now, the guy literally tells Abram, just take it all. Take all the goods. And what's he say? He says, no, I'm only going to take, you know, what the Lord wants me to take, but I will let some of my men, right here, you see there, the last part there, take some of their portion. Now, when you think about your decision-making on earth, try to draw this in here to a context for you to make real application. Are we selfish at times? I have to admit, I'm selfish at times. When Monica says, what do y'all want to eat? I don't think, what does Macy and Maslin, my daughters, want to eat? I think, what do I want to eat, right? When she says, Where do you want to go? I'm thinking about me. When I think about my income, how I'm going to spend it, I'm thinking about, well, bills I've got to pay are things that I need or want. I'm not thinking about others, generally speaking. First, initially. But as I grow as a Christian, some of that should start changing. To where I'm thinking about others, who I can help, ways I can use this beyond just myself. It mentioned tithing in there. I don't see the offering, okay, up there. It don't matter. But when you think about us giving back to the Lord on the first day of the week, is that one of our five acts of worship? How much preparation and thought goes into that act? If you're a teenager in this audience, a young person, I'm just thinking about this. Some of these men and these ladies that are prepared in Bible classes or worship service or lessons or whatever you're going to do, song leader might go home and practice his songs. Bible class teacher, look over their lessons, study the material, and hopefully the whole class is studying the material. And then we're all taking part in this. Well, that contribution, is it one of those things? Oh, grab a checkbook, we've got to make a check real quick. Make a check out real quick. Make it for this amount. Or it's one of those things where it's like, all right, in our household, this is what we make this year. You know, we know our salaries, or we've got a good idea. How do we want to give back? Well, in the Old Testament, they would give back usually, you know, people use that 10% rule. But in the New Testament, we're told that give as we've been prospered. Come up with your own amount. God's blessed you. How much of this do you want to give back to God? Well, I'll go ahead and tell you the mystery here. Without God, we don't have any of it because we can't breathe. We can't see. We can't hear. We don't live in a free country. We don't have the physical and mental abilities to work and provide for our family. We don't have anything without God. But because of God, we've got everything that we have. So how much of that do I want to give back to Him? Now, He knows you don't give every dollar back because you've got to live. Abraham didn't give every dollar that he had his whole life. Now, the poor widow, she gave her two mites. But here's the thing. How much do I think about that? Do I honor God with my possessions no matter the cost? Does anybody remember in the New Testament who didn't do this? No matter the cost. Okay, Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 8. Or is that, that's chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, right? Okay. 8 is Philip and the eunuch. Okay, so Acts chapter 5. And they kept back part of the portion and tried to deceive. They could give whatever they wanted. And he struck them dead. What else do you think about the New Testament? I think of a man in particular that no matter the cost, he couldn't give up some of his possessions. Who was that man? The rich young ruler. Had he committed adultery? Had he stolen? Had he honored his parents? They went through the list of things he'd done right. And to be honest with you, you look at that list and say, this is an honorable man. Jesus said, there's one thing you lack. One thing, Bob, that you lack. What is it? I want to do what I need to do. Go and sell what you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me. And what he did? He went away sorrowful. Why? Because he had great possessions. He could honor God and pass the test in a lot of ways. You understand what I'm saying? He passed the test in so many ways. Maybe you this morning. Maybe we've got a group of people in here that you can say, that's me. It may not be your possessions, but you're honoring God in so many ways. You're keeping so many of the laws, the Word of God, what you should do. But you know there's a plague or two in your life that you need to fix. I need to work on this. I need to get rid of this. I need to start doing more of this. Whatever. Sins of commission or omission. And you need to make a decision. Am I going to trust and obey like Abraham did? Am I going to honor God no matter the cost? Well, I may have to give up this career that I've worked for 10 years to get. But it's become a sinful career. It's keeping me away from God. I'm not being able to get my heart in the right place. I'm going to have to give up these friends that mean so much to me. But they're dragging me down. They're keeping me away from my Creator. Whatever it is, do I honor God with my possessions, no matter the cost? If God says it, I'm going to do it because heaven is more important. Heaven is more important. No matter what it is that my thinking? And that was Abraham's thinking. He didn't just say it. He showed. Any comments on that? All right, let's look at the third point. Do I trust God's promises? Abraham was promised something a while ago in Genesis earlier, right? Well, when a man promises you something on earth, I promised Chad something, he promised it, can I guarantee it? The Bible says not to make an oath, right? Not to swear. Not a curse word swear, but an oath swear. Why? Why do we not make an oath? May not be able to keep it. I may want to keep it, but I may not be able to. I may die before I can fulfill it. I may not come through like I thought. Something may happen, Lord willing. So I can't trust anybody's promises on earth. Although we want to be honest and let our yea be yea or nay be nay, we can't guarantee it. But can God lie? He can't lie. It's impossible. You ever had one of those tests? I want you to think about this. I guarantee some parents about to raise their hands right here. But be honest, I've been on both sides of this. Me and Mr. Connell, we'll tell you, it's harder than it looks. You ever had one of those tests where you took it and you got one wrong and you just could have just known that you had the right answer? It's like, now I know that was what I was told was the right answer. Or we studied this and that's what my study guide said the right answer was. Well, usually the kid put down the wrong answer when that's the case. But it's possible the teacher made a mistake. It's possible the kid wrote, but have you ever had one of those where you just thought you knew the right thing and really you might have been wrong? You know what I'm saying there? It happens in tests. Bad questions, studied the wrong thing. You go to Wikipedia, you may get the wrong answer because that's not filled in by fact of people putting in stuff. If God says it, it can't be wrong. It's not one of those things where you go to the local store and get one of those magazines, how to raise better children. How to grow a better garden. How to be a better Christian. Here's our magazine. Here's our directions. It's not going to be wrong. God's promises are right. Look at Genesis 15, the first six verses. Genesis 15, the first six verses. Let's see. Somebody want to volunteer to read? I don't know who I've called on or hadn't called on. Okay, go ahead. Man, Abraham has not had a child. How old is Sarah when she has the child? You remember? 90. Okay. How old was Abraham? 99. Now, if somebody comes to you that you know today and tells you, hey, you've got a 90-year-old cousin that's about to have a baby. Yeah, that's right. What's that going to take to believe it?
I have to go see it.
That's how a lot of people feel about heaven, Bob. If you would just show them heaven and show them hell, they'd live a different life on this earth. And that's what separates a Christian and a true believer, is they trust without having seen. Remember what he told Thomas? Blessed that you believe, but more blessed are those that believe and have not seen. Right? And you think about this idea of Abraham and Noah. Had they ever seen a flood before? We're not even sure if it had rained up to this point. The water from the ground had maybe watered earth, because we don't have a scriptural reference that it had rained. And he's telling everybody, oh, it's fixing to flood, a catastrophic rate that if you're not in this ship, this ark, you're not going to make it. People probably thought he was crazy. Abraham could have said, now, Lord, I've got full confidence, but I think you're losing it here. Right? And that would have been a normal thing to think unless you had full confidence and trust in God. So when God says, let this job go, let this person go, let these people go, say what needs to be said to them. Is it always easy? That ain't easy. I know for Noah what easy. I know even though Abraham believed the Lord and counted it was counted him for righteousness, it couldn't have been easy. Tests are generally not easy. That's why they're called tests. That's why a lot of people struggle with them. They're not always easy. But if we're going to grow as Christians, that doesn't mean the first day you become a Christian, you'd make 100 on every spiritual test you were given. But as a Christian, you're supposed to grow and develop like a tree. And if we're not growing and developing, what's happening usually? Does a tree just sit there the same size for forever? No. We can't either. We've got to trust God's promises. Whether we've got to give something up, somebody up, live a different life, we've got to trust God's promises. And just like Abraham here, it may not always be easy. Because we may turn on the news and say, how much longer can God have patience with the world we're living in? How much tougher is our country going to get before people start having enough common sense to say, that's wrong, that's sin? And start doubting and questioning certain things. And how many false doctrines can throw up a building and have some perks and gimmicks and add to the Word of God or take away from it, and really not even have church, just have social gatherings, and get buildings full, and it not discourage people when you're trying to do what's right? Well, just remember, there was only 8 people saved in that ark. There was very few people that lived, that survived. Think about Sodom and Gomorrah. They couldn't find 10 righteous people. So just because you're in a minority, just because not everybody trusts God's promises or passes the test, doesn't mean you can't. Right? You don't have to be like those other kids we talked about that are using filthy language, do you? That's your choice. We can get to heaven by trusting and believing in God just like Abraham did and pass these tests. It just takes growth and character and the mental ability to say, I want to put God first in everything I do. I love God this much. I trust God. I trust God this much. Let's go ahead and look at our last point. Do I take advantage of opportunities to do good and serve? You know, here at Tri-Cities, I would say if everybody's here, you've got around 50 people. Is that fair? Okay, give or take. 50 people. What does it take for a church this size to grow? Got a great location here on Wilson Dam Road, right? Too bad they took out the skating ring, Ethan. We could go skating today. Okay? Great location. It takes people that are fired up that this is the most important thing in their life, right? It's got to be more important than junior high basketball or high school basketball, right? You don't even play, do you? Bad example. You play any sports? Okay, go to school, okay? You play, Ethan? I played junior high sports. I played high school sports, and I really, really enjoyed sports. I really enjoyed baseball and basketball. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with sport. But God's got to be first. How many of you watched college football yesterday? I know Dwayne, he was upset Auburn didn't play, but he'd rather watch him get beat than Alabama. Maybe. I don't know if that's right. I mean, we enjoy it, don't we? There's some sports I don't enjoy. You couldn't get me to turn on a hockey game. But here's the thing. We watch it. We enjoy it. People go out and they buy Alabama clothes. I buy Florida stuff. And they wear that stuff. They live it. We went to Gainesville this year like we go every year. We buy our tickets. We go to away games. We put a lot into it because we enjoy it. It means something to us. Well, it's Sunday. It's time to go. We don't put much into our worship or Bible study sometimes because we're so distracted by all the things in this world. There's so many opportunities to do good and serve God. This is it's a gospel meeting in December, but it's an encouraging week. It can be a lot of fun bringing in visitors and having a building full when normally maybe have a half building full. I know that feeling from Piney Grove. It can be a lot. Maybe you've got a friend or a coworker or a cousin, somebody who's sick, somebody you can do something for, somebody who wants to study. Just any way you can do good to others. That's a command. What does James 4:17 say? To him that does no good, or to him that knows to do good and does it not, it's what? Sin. To him it's sin. That's a sin of omission, just like on a test. You ever have one of those tests where the teacher writes, omit, real big on that question? What's that mean, Miss McCollum? You don't have to do that one. You skip it. That's my favorite ones, right? Best questions, omit. You know, that's what a lot of people are spiritually. Well, I know somebody at the congregation has been sick. We've been having some visitors. I really need to visit or call or just, but I'm so busy with work. I got a ball game we've got to go to. Got something we've got to watch on TV. You know, the yard needs mowed. We got all these things to do that we omit a lot of opportunities to do good as Christians. We're not reaping anything spiritually. We're not going to sow anything. I mean, we're not sowing, we're not going to reap anything. Said that backwards, Bob. Let's read this passage and we'll be about done. Genesis 18, the first 8 verses. Anybody else want to volunteer? Genesis 18, the first 8 verses. Okay, go ahead. Man, if somebody came and got my best calf, I'd be upset. Especially as cheap as cattle are, me and Chad's talking. You know, a lot of times that's why we think, oh, that's going to cost me too much to do that. It's going to get into my wallet a little. It's going to get into my time, my precious resources. We've got to take advantage of opportunities to do good. They're not always present. Sometimes you have to seek them out. But they're there. And we've got to take advantage of these things. There's such a blessing that comes with doing good to others. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And that is spot on. We've got to make sure we understand that. Abraham understood that in so many ways. Anybody got any comments on that one? You know, there's a lot we could say about that, but we're pushed for time, so we're going to go to the last slide here. In conclusion, I want you to determine this week, next year, to when you hear that word test, we've got a lot of young middle school, high school students in here. I hope y'all remember that this really soon. But as adults, as mothers and fathers and grandparents of these children, I hope we think about passing tests in our life. The right thing to say, the right thing to do, the right attitude to have. Let's pass these tests. In Job 23:10. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Not that fake gold that we talked about earlier. Not that impurity. But when I'm tested, I'm going to prove that I am that true Christian that I say that I am. So the last thing I'll ask this morning to conclude our Bible class, just to self-evaluate, are you passing the test by making application of God's Word to your life? Sunday in, Wednesday, week by week, are you growing as a Christian? Are you passing these tests? And if not, what can you do? A lot of people drop out of school, they quit, they give up. I can't do it. Some do that spiritually, but we can do it. We can do all things through God that strengthens us. We just got to make up our mind we want to do it. We've got to trust God. We've got to obey. Are you passing the test that you're tested with on this earth? Let's make our mind up that we want to pass these. Any last comments as we conclude? Appreciate everybody's participation there and attendance, and hopefully we'll have a great week of this gospel meeting.